We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Brandon, Republicans like you have been in the lead in criticizing the new truck toll plan. Look into your crystal ball and tell us what you expect the impact to be in 1, 2, 3 years.
I think we're going to have a loss of jobs, unfortunately. We've already seen evidence of that, evidence that there's a stoppage of growth from Ocean State Job Lot. Ocean State Job Lot stopped a $50 million or whatever it is, however many square feet that center was going to be. And they stopped that in its tracks. And so we're going to see the prices of goods affected. It's going to come right down to the consumer. And it's horrible for business. It's horrible for the business climate. And it sends a horrible message that Rhode Island is going in the wrong direction, like that Hassenfeld poll said a few weeks ago.
Before we go to Scott, I'd like to push back a little bit and note how in Rhode Island, we've had Republican governors for more than 20 of the last 30 years. You can say that, yes, the chief executive is not that strong here compared to the General Assembly, but the governor does have the bully pulpit. So how much responsibility do Republican governors bear for not really making infrastructure and the need to improve it a top issue in Rhode Island?
Well, I disagree about the fact that there hasn't been an effort to improve the infrastructure. The DOT has been horribly managed. And, I can't necessarily blame Mr. Alvedi at this point, or the director at this point, so new in his term. You know, at the end of the day, the General Assembly rules the day here, as you said. The Speaker of the House is the most powerful. The Speaker of the House is the chief executive. There is no check and balance.
There was Governor DePriet, there was Governor Almond, there was Governor Carcheri, and none of them succeeded in moving through a major plan to improve the state's infrastructure in the way that Governor Raimondo has.
I'm not going to say they're blameless, but I will say, let's go back to the General Assembly. We've had over 75 years of Democratic rule in the General Assembly, and essentially, we have not had a robust two-party system. There are no checks and balances with the political parties, and there's no checks and balances between the State House and the governor, or the General Assembly and the governor. That's problematic.
Let's go to Scott.
Well, whose fault is that? Isn't it the Republican Party? If you don't put up good candidates and you don't recruit candidates, which has been true for years and years, and you leave 40 to 50% of these seats unopposed, I mean, don't you bear some responsibility, your party, for the lack of a vibrant two-party system in this state?
There's no question about it. We need to do a better job of getting people, getting quality candidates who have confidence, courage, preparation. We just ran an excellent candidate in District 11 for the Senate for Portsmouth, Tiverton, and Bristol, and we saw what worked there. And it worked really well.
How many of the 113 legislative seats do you expect that Republicans will contest this year?
Well, now I could do the math pretty easily, even though I went to law school. I'm looking at the vote, the 75 members of the House, that is, and minus the 12 that caucus with the Republicans, that's 63, minus the 9, because it kind of was a bipartisan effort since there were 9 Democrats that came over. So I would expect to have about 54 challengers on the House side.
I'm just wondering, this tolls issue, do you think it may, how do you keep it alive, I guess? I mean, by November, aren't a lot of people just going to forget about it? Because unless you drive an 18-wheeler, it doesn't directly have an impact on you.
And Scott, I'd have to disagree with that. It does. It directly impacts everyone in this state. You don't need to drive an 18-wheeler. Debate before the House was absolutely pathetic. One of the most unbelievable things where you had reps Googling what the Code of Federal Regulations said. They didn't even define what a truck was. And it should come as no surprise that I'm not a big fan of Obamacare, but at least on the first page of the Obamacare bill, it defined what health insurance was. It was an embarrassment. 13 days with legislators not able to go and actually talk to their constituents. I don't believe for a minute that this was not rushed through. It was done early enough so that they think that in November there won't be an institutional memory. We'll keep it alive.
We're talking here with State Republican Chairman Brandon Bell. Brandon, as we know, Rhode Island Republicans have not had a lot of success in recent years in increasing their legislative representation. What will the party do differently this year to try and change that, particularly in a presidential year where more Democrats come out to vote?
We're going to define ourselves better. Run based on issue advocacy, this being a huge issue for us, the tolls. And I think that, we need candidates who have courage, confidence, preparation, money, which is like oxygen, second to oxygen in politics. And so we need to recruit those candidates. That recruitment effort is long underway. And I think it'll be even easier to get quality candidates after this massive toll and tax vote.
What's your interpretation of what's going on in the Republican Party right now? The leading presidential candidate, Donald Trump, appears to have no consistent ideology except self-advancement.
Donald Trump is the antithesis of Barack Obama. And I look at it from the perspective...
Obama's not going to be on any ballot this year.
But Hillary Clinton is running on Obama's record right now. Bernie Sanders is making Hillary move to the left further and further. Hillary Clinton has no accomplishment. She has controversy.
Yeah, but how do you explain the Trump phenomenon?
Well, I think the Trump phenomenon is because of the antithesis of Barack Obama and what he stands for. He's not a community organizer. He's a successful billionaire. He's done very well for himself. So I think he's tapped right into that anger, Scotty. He didn't come out and say, hey, we need to get rid of this capital gains tax. No, he said, we need to get rid of the immigrants. So he's tapping right into where people are feeling. I don't know that his numbers are going to move very much. And I think it all depends on, for example, how Marco Rubio does. He's one debate performance away, I think, from rocketing back into second or third place. Ted Cruz is in the conservative lane. Jeb Bush and Marco, I think that's, and Kasich, you know, Kasich doesn't have any money left, I don't think. But I think that's that sort of blurred line between establishment and, you know, so there's like three lanes going on here. And I think it ought to be very interesting. I think we got a long way to go.
The General Assembly has shown not very much interest in restoring state ethics commission oversight of lawmakers since a 2009 Supreme Court decision wiped that out. Is that an issue that the Republicans plan to focus on this year and which potentially could be a strong symbolic issue?
Absolutely. Good government issues are a strong issue for us. I don't pretend to know how that impacts voters and whether they understand what the Ethics Commission is all about. But we have a direct example here. We don't know what the decision is going to be, but we filed a complaint against Don Lally for the revolving door prohibition. Again, thank goodness there was actually an ethics regulation that applied to that particular situation so that we could see how that actually will work. But we absolutely, for the most part, I can't speak for everyone, because as you know, there are a couple of Republicans in the legislature that don't necessarily agree with this. But as a party, I believe our platform is certainly for ethics oversight over the General Assembly.
You just said many voters don't understand what the Ethics Commission is about. So how will you communicate that as an issue?
All we need to do is walk, when we're walking door to door and we say the word ethics, I think people can relate that in the state of Rhode Island. That's really important, because the fact that the commission and oversight, those words may be a little complicated for the average person to understand, but certainly, this person is against ethics oversight. Once they hear ethics, they understand that, and that's how we get that message out, I believe.
Governor Raimondo's budget appears to put the crimp on charter schools. Is this a good path or a bad one?
Put the crimp on it is a bad thing, I believe. We need to have choice. I think that going after the charter movement is not going to increase pro-education. I think we really need to take a really solid look at that. I was encouraged by some of the education things that I heard, but we haven't been studying it that hard because of the toll debate.
Cranston Mayor Alan Fung has had some political difficulties since he ran for governor in 2014. Do you think he's still viable to run statewide for governor or another position in the future?
I mean, I'd leave that up to Mayor Fung as far as what he's going to do in the future. I know that, 7 or 8 months from now, the best kept or the worst kept secret is whether or not he's running for rerunning for mayor. And that's his next move one way or the other. And I think I'll leave that to him for the future.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Republican Chairman Brandon Bell.
Thank you for having me.